You are listening to the Dan Patrick Show on Fox Sports Radio.
Final hour, Meat Friday, Dan and the Danettes, Dan Patrick Show. Probably not tuning in, figuring you'll hear an Hank Aaron interview, but Hank has just passed away at the age of 86. He joined us this past April, and we thought that instead of talking about him, how about we go back when we talk to him? So in about 20 minutes from now, we will bring this to you. The last interview that we did, and that's many interviews over the course of my career with one of my idols, Hank Aaron, who passed away at the age of 86. Last 5 months, some of baseball's all-time greats pass away. Tom Seaver, Lou Brock, Joe Morgan, Bob Gibson, Don Sutton, and now Hank Aaron. We'll get to phone calls as well, 877-3DP-SHOW, email address dp@danpatrick.com, Twitter handle at dpshow. Big football weekend. We don't have an updated status report on Patrick Mahomes, but I would probably exhale if I'm a Kansas City Chiefs. You got a lot of reps in practice and probably will be medically cleared out of concussion protocol at some point today. Now, we're more than 2 days away, so it's plenty of time. He's still able to get in his reps. That's what I wondered about during the week, if he was going to be hampered in how much time he would get with the first-team offense. Here's something to keep in mind. In the regular season, nobody allowed more completions to tight ends than the Buffalo Bills did. Travis Kelce is coming off a record-setting year. Just something to file away. When we look at that offense, and if you go, I'll be damned, Travis Kelce's open all the time. Now, not that Buffalo's going to go, you know what, we just can't cover a tight end. We'll let him have his catches. They're going to do their best to try to stop Travis Kelce. Easier said than done. But Buffalo surrendered more catches to tight ends this year than any NFL team. And one of the amazing things about the NFL is how closely matched these teams are. The lines are hovering around a field goal for both of these games this weekend. And you never know. I always feel like there's one close game and then there's a blowout. So many times a funny bounce, a missed pass changes everything. And legacies are defined by the thinnest of margins. When you think about Tom Brady, he won 6 Super Bowls. Look how close he was to winning other Super Bowls. Look how close he was to losing Super Bowls. It's a fine line because he could have beaten the Eagles, or he could have beaten the Giants. But then you look back on some of these friendly bounces, or Adam Vinatieri with clutch field goals. You had, the tuck game, when that should have been a fumble. They shouldn't even gotten to the Super Bowl. But this is how legacies are built, by the thinnest of margins. And I go back to Patrick Mahomes. We're all ready to say he'll be one of the great quarterbacks of all time. Go back to the regular season when we thought he dislocated his knee. Go back to the postseason when he was behind against the Texans, behind against the Titans. They ended up winning those games. In the Super Bowl, he's down 10, fourth quarter, 6 minutes to go. Jimmy Garoppolo completes a pass. San Francisco is going to win that game. Chris Jones knocks it down. The slightest of margins there. So you have Patrick Mahomes, Josh Allen going toe-to-toe, and then, of course, you have Aaron Rodgers and Tom Brady. A trip to the Super Bowl hangs in the balance. I said to Todd, there's a couple of people I'd love to hear if they were able to speak about Hank Aaron. The former commissioner, Bud Selig, who was a lifelong dear friend of Hank Aaron's, and also Bob Uecker. I thought that those would be two great people to have to talk about Hank Aaron. And then I said to Fritzy, you know what? See if Johnny Bench would join us, because it feels like Johnny's a member of the show, and, you know, he also was there. He faced Don Sutton. But Hank, you know, when Hank Aaron hit 714, he was in Cincinnati, and Jack Billingham was the pitcher, and I believe Johnny was behind home plate for that home run that Hank hit, and then he goes to Atlanta and then hit the home run off Al Downing, 715. Yeah, Paul.
A couple of years ago, the topic of changing sports names came up, and some different baseball teams, there's an article written about it. And the great Atlanta Brave Dale Murphy tweeted out, "I always felt that Hammer and Hank, the Hammer, was one of the coolest nicknames ever. If the Atlanta Braves ever consider a name change, make it the Atlanta Hammers."
Oh.
That is one of the better ideas, if that situation ever came to pass, I've heard in a while.
Yeah. Yeah, and I wondered about that. And I think Johnny was behind the plate when Hank hit that. But I remember that Hank was going to sit out, and then Bowie Kuhn, the commissioner, said, no, you're playing in the game, because Hank wanted to set the record in Atlanta. And so Hank played and then hit the home run off Jack Billingham. 877-3DP-SHOW, email address dp at danpatrick.com, Twitter handle at DP Show. Rob in New Orleans. Hey, Rob. Thanks for joining us.
Hey, Danny. I sure also don't want to bring down the mood or anything, but I grew up outside of Atlanta, and Henry Aaron was my first sports hero. And I actually got to see him play in Fulton County Stadium. And I've had many disagreements with people over the years about who the greatest hitter that ever was. A lot of them were from Boston. And I said, it's Henry Aaron. It's Henry Aaron. Look it up. And I've always appreciated the fact that you championed him. So thank you, Danny. And a sad day, but go Hammers.
Yep. There was nothing dramatic about him. You know, he lacked flair, but that's not who he was. But he was, you know, in that group with Mickey Mantle and Willie Mays. You can't be any more flamboyant than those guys were, the way they played. But Hank just went about his business. Hank never hit 50 home runs in a season. But back then, if you hit 30, 35, you were a power hitter. And if you look at the effortless swing of Hank Aaron, now there was no launch angle. There was no, he was a 300 hitter for his career. Hank had this ability to flip his wrist. He just flicked his wrist, and somehow somebody at that size could hit the ball that far and hit 750 home runs. Let's bring in the Hall of Famer, Johnny Bench, who went toe-to-toe, I'm sure, with Hank quite a few times. And I don't know when you got the news, Johnny, but if I'm bringing it to you now, I apologize. But I thought you'd be a good person to have on.
Well, actually, Dan, I got all of a sudden a flood of text. And Henry, and with eyes that are crying. And I said, no, don't tell me this. I mean, I'm just absolutely worn out from... This is our ninth person in a year, and within the year's time, and with Don Sutton and Losorda, and Don, I used to hang out with in Palm Springs, and then I thought, man, this is just getting too much, and I just sent a picture to Fritzy, and I hope he can pull it up. It's Hank sliding into me, and it's hanging on my wall here in my office, and Henry writes on it to John, I wish the hell you'd stay out of my way.
Were you behind the plate when Hank hit 714 off Jack Billingham?
Yeah, Jack still says I called the wrong pitch.
Wait, what did you call? Fastball?
I called a breaking ball, and I was there at I was standing on home plate when I shook Hank Aaron's hand too. Because when I broke in, and I'm catching and. Henry would come up and, I'd take off, he'd put his bat down, he'd put his helmet on over his soft cap, and he would say, hi, John, how you doing? And nobody ever knew that. And from the very beginning, I don't think there was a game that when the let off or when his first time at bat that he didn't say hello. And, it was such a reward just to be with the man and to be at the Hall of Fame with him and his gentleness, his class.
Yeah.
At the Gold Glove Awards. Just anywhere you were with Hank. And we were trying to put together a Zoom call just recently, and it hasn't happened. And I'm so just sad and disappointed. You can't measure what we've lost in baseball this year. But he was just, like I heard you talking about the flip of the wrists and everything else. And of course, he filled out. His forearms looked like my thighs. They were, you wonder how the wrist and those forearms and everything else and hit off his front foot and just flicked it. And, it was, 755 home runs. If you take those away, he still had 3,000 hits.
Yeah. Yeah.
But he was a great base stealer. He was a great defender. And he was just a better man and a better person. I'm just so sad. And, we can't do enough, to say for him and what he did for baseball and what he meant to baseball, what he meant to everybody he played with. I can tell you, to a man, all those players were just with adulation and respect. And I don't think you can leave a better legacy than for us to talk about him in this kind of manner and say what a just a gentle person and what a wonderful person and the all-time home run king to most people.
Yeah, I wondered about that, Johnny. Do you think the Hall of Famers view Hank as the all-time home run king?
Yeah. Yeah. And I think it's just out of respect and everything else. I think if everybody's always looking at the PEDs and the steroid era and whatever, and how much difference it would have made, there's just few people in your life that when you walk in to the Hall of Fame and you walk in or you walk into the hotel. And, you know, first time was Ted Williams, and there was Yogi, and there was Campanella, and here's Duke Snider, and, you know, here's all these guys, and there's Henry and Willie. And, I mean, it just gave credence. It gave validity to being in the Hall of Fame. I don't know that we will ever, you know, none of us will, you know, ever have that stature, I think, because it's, to me, it will always be. That's what the Hall of Fame is. It's those people. It's, you know, what we dreamed of all our lives and hitting in the rocks out of the driveway and hitting, playing home run derby at the park. And the thing is, if you think about it, Dan, I don't know that there's anybody that's ever emulated hitting like Hank Aaron. Because I don't think you can copy or emulate or perfect those things. He was one of a kind as a baseball player, and he's one of a kind as a person, and my whole being is sad.
Yeah, we lost Tom Seaver, we lost Lou Brock, we lost Joe Morgan, Bob Gibson, Don Sutton, now Hank Aaron.
Yeah, listen, Necro, and Necro, I talked to him when he was on.
Necro.
I talked to him about once a week, and I don't know, but I tell you the story about Sparky calling me into the office one day, and he said, "John, we've got a chance to trade for Necro. What do you think?" And I said, "You better trade for his catcher, too, because I'm not." And he always loved that. Nuxie was, I said, you know, he'd call me, and I said, "Either tell me a joke, or I don't want to talk to you." And, that was the one thing. And Lasorda was just the wizard on my baseball bunch, and
I got to put you in bubble wrap, all right? I got to make sure nothing happens to you.
Yeah, and all of a sudden we start feeling so vulnerable. I mean, it's like, I mean, all of us, I guess, to think that we're, there and that, I talked to Raleigh, I talked to Wade Boggs, I talked to Brett and talked to Robin Yount the other day. And, you just want to call and, say, hey, I'm just thinking about you. And,
Get on that Zoom call with these guys who are still alive, Johnny.
Yeah.
Make sure you do it. Make sure you do it. Hey,
man,
thank you, buddy.
I appreciate it.
That's Johnny Bench. And yeah, I appreciate him coming on. I could hear it in his voice. But he also wants to make sure that people remember these people, and that's I appreciate that with John. Yeah, it's tough. I've been in this business so long that I see the starts of careers, the end of careers. I see careers and then the careers of, children of these stars. I mean, I was there for Kobe's draft. I was there when, Len Bias got drafted. I was there for the Elway Marino draft. And then you see these, and now you see that their kids are playing. And, I've been very fortunate, but the older I get, the more I'm going to go through this with all of these legends. I mean, I'll sign up for 86 now. I'd sign up for that. But I just hope he had a good life, what he considered a good life, because I think he was private. I don't think he ever told you maybe what was really going on. But I just got a glimpse when I saw those letters that people wrote and the things they said about, you might say that about somebody, but you can't say that about Hank Aaron. Like, you just can't. I mean, it was just horrible. see some of those letters. And the fact that they had snipers on the top of Fulton County Stadium the night that Hank Aaron broke Babe Ruth's record. They were worried that somebody was going to try to assassinate. They were going to try to kill Hank Aaron because he had gotten letters, death threats. And you had snipers up on the top of Fulton County Stadium. And then when you had those two idiots who went onto the field after Hank hit the home run, and as he's rounding second base, these two guys came up to Hank. How they did not get shot is remarkable, because these are snipers and they see two guys running out there and they don't know. And Hank, as much class as he had, he brushed them aside. They ruined his moment, but he still was able to round third, go home, and then they celebrated a little bit. But if you missed it last April, in fact, it was April 4th, 1974, when he set the record. And we wanted to have him on for the anniversary of 7-15. And I'm just so happy that we called him. Because a lot of times, I don't want to call Jerry West and bother him. I mean, there's certain players that are former players that I just go, just leave him alone. And Paulie goes, no, you love Hank Aaron. I go, I do, but I don't want to bother him. And I think he was happy we called. I mean, I'm going to take that feeling away from him. But you'll hear that coming up next. We'll take a break here. 18 after the hour. This is the Dan Patrick Show. You heard me talk about Built Bar, and I got a new shipment here, so I'm in a good mood. I got a shipment ready for this weekend. There's 18 flavors there. You're going to notice a couple of things. You're going to go, that looks like a candy bar. That tastes like a candy bar. Is that a candy bar? No, it's a protein bar. Tastes like a candy bar, looks like a candy bar, but low calorie, low sugar, high protein, high fiber. If you're looking to lose weight and you don't want to eat something that tastes like cardboard or sawdust, you can snack in a health conscious way. They're perfect. Go to BuiltBar.com. Promo code is DP. Get 20% off your first order. So the promo code is DP for 20% off at BuiltBar.com. Low calorie, low sugar, high protein, high fiber. Why not eat something that's good for you that actually tastes good? Tell them we sent you. Use the promo code DP so you get that 20% off your first order at BuiltBar.com. Thanks for listening to the Dan Patrick Show podcast. Be sure to catch us live every weekday morning, 9 to noon Eastern, or 6 to 9 Pacific on Fox Sports Radio. Find your local station for the Dan Patrick Show at foxsportsradio.com or stream us live every day on the iHeartRadio app by searching FSR. Or stream us live on the Peacock app. Make sure you sign up for the DP Show newsletter, available every day, Monday through Friday at 6 Eastern, 3 Pacific. To sign up, go to danpatrick.com. Enter your email address in the box that slides out in the bottom right-hand corner, and Mario will make sure you get the wrap-up of every show on Monday through Friday here on the Dan Patrick Show. If you're just joining us, Hank Aaron has passed away at the age of 86. Chuck in Virginia joins us. We will bring back an interview that I did April 8th of 2020 with Hank, the last time we had him on the program. Hey, Chuck.
Hey, Dan, how are you?
Oh, doing great.
A little sad, man. First time, long time, thanks. 5'6", a hard 145. How I became a Braves fan, hey. first grade was at the game, saw his 700th home run, played T-ball with Phil Negro's son, Philip. And a great story for you about Fulton County taking my kid back there years ago. I know you've seen since that when they flattened Fulton County Stadium and they still had the section of the fence where Hank hit his 715th.
Yeah.
It's still erected, you know, out in the parking lot. So I've got my son there. He's about 8 years old. We're standing up next to the fence with the big sign says 715, and his mom's taking the picture, and my son looks up and says, "What is this?" I said, "Son, this is where Hank Aaron hit his 715th home run." And he looks at Turner Field in the distance about 400 yards away, and he says, "All the way out here?"
Now that's a good story. Thank you, Chuck. That's a good story. You know, you start thinking about this when the first time you see somebody or the first time they have an impact on you. And we've all had this happen to us when, you know, depending on how old you are, you'll see somebody or you get to go to a game, you get an autograph, you get a baseball card, a poster, like all of those things kind of factor in on, you know, who these people are. And I had not met Hank Aaron until he was done playing baseball, I think, but for some reason, and I don't know why, it might have been because the Braves were always on. I remember that they had, you know, Davey Johnson, the former manager, Darrell Evans. I think they had three guys who hit 40 home runs or more one year. Ralph Garr led off for them. You know, they were just, I don't know why I became so familiar with the Braves. Maybe because of the times that they played against the Cincinnati Reds. But let me take you back to April 8th of 2020. This would have been the 46th anniversary of Hank's 715th home run that made him the all-time home run king. And I started out the interview by asking Hank, how are you?
I'm fine, Dan. How are you?
I'm doing okay. I actually went back and listened to Vin Scully's call of the home run. When's the last time that you sat down and watched that?
Oh, my goodness. It's been a time. It's been a while. It has been a long time, Dan. I haven't watched it that much.
What do you remember about that night? Like, is there something that never came out or something that is just special for you, something before the game, after the game that happened?
Well, you know, the thing that I remember most about that night was my mother. She was so enthused. She was so happy. And when I hit the home run and got around the bases to home plate, she grabbed me, and I had never been hugged before in my life like that.
I did notice that she was holding on for dear life to you. She just didn't want to let you go.
No, she didn't. She was quite happy, and I was thrilled.
What did you keep from that night?
I think I remember that night. I remember most was the fact that...
Well, did you keep your uniform? Did you keep the bat? Did you, like, what memorabilia did you keep from that night?
I don't think I kept anything as far as that's concerned.
Oh.
I don't think I kept anything. I think I went home, Dan. I think I went home, my wife and I both, and we prayed. And I asked God forgiveness and thanked him for everything that he had done for me. And that's the thing I remember most.
Did you thank him for that pitch that Al threw to you that was up in the strike zone?
Well, you know, a lot of people talk about that pitch, but that was, he was quite a pitcher.
He won 20 games before. Yeah.
Yeah. You know, he used to pitch with the Yankees. And he was quite a pitcher. And I had never had good luck against him. And for some reason, it was the night that come calling, and I hit the home run off of him.
And you homered in Cincinnati off Jack Billingham. And then I think, did Bowie Kuhn, the commissioner, want you to wait to go to Atlanta? Or you wanted to wait to go to Atlanta to try to set the record there? He made you play that maybe the next day in Cincinnati. Does that sound right?
Yes, he wanted me to play the next day. Yes, he wanted me instead of I opened the season up. I hit the home run, and then I wanted to wait and do the rest of it in Atlanta here. And he said no. He said, you, by your record, say you played every other day and say you should play today.
How different would your career have been if you played in a bigger market?
I think it would have been a lot different, but then I don't know. You know, I kind of...
Were you a small market guy? Like, you were in Milwaukee and Atlanta. If I swapped you and Willie Mays or you and Mickey Mantle, Would your personality, would you have done okay in New York as opposed to Atlanta and in Milwaukee?
I think I'd have got along as far as very well, but I don't know that I would have been the same type of ball player that I was in Milwaukee. Milwaukee was made for me.
Yeah,
I loved Milwaukee. I was a country boy. Milwaukee was a country city. And I just love being in Milwaukee.
What other sports did you play growing up?
I played a little basketball. Not basketball. Take that back. Looking at basketball, I played a little football. But other than that, Dan, I didn't play any other sport. I played baseball. I was strictly a baseball player. I played baseball from 8 years old until I got to be 12 or 13.
How good a running? Were you a running back?
I could run. I could run pretty well. I didn't have the feet like some of these wide receivers or running backs had, but I could make hay.
I could do things
that I wanted to do.
But I think how much was the most you weighed? 180 maybe?
The most I weighed was 180.
Wow.
That was it. I never weighed more than 180. I always, if I got 185, 190 pounds, I was overweight.
But you had those quick wrists. Like Mike Schmidt and you were the two guys. I just remember it was a flick of the wrist because you weren't a big guy. I think your lower body was a little bigger. But how do you explain all of those home runs with not being a big guy?
I did most of my things with my wrist. For some reason, I don't know why, but I had very strong hands and I had very strong wrists. And I did everything with my wrist.
Yeah, you did it quite well. 46 years ago tonight,
yes.
He hit home run number 715. We're talking to Hank Aaron. You know, we've talked about this before. You were kind enough to share your feelings going into this, that you got letters, horrible letters. People didn't want a black man breaking Babe Ruth's all-time home run record. And then here you are in the South. You hit the home run. And then you have these two fans who run on the field as you're rounding second. What were you thinking?
Yes. These two kids ran on the field, and actually, they meant nothing. They didn't mean to do any harm to me. They had said before the game started that if I hit a home run, time presented itself, that they were going to run on the field and make themselves presentable.
It looked like they were trying to take off your batting helmet.
Well, yeah, I don't know. You know, and one of them turned out to be a doctor, and they turned out to be pretty good citizens.
Oh man, I cried that night when you homered. I was watching in Cincinnati, and of course, I'm a big Red Machine guy. But
yeah.
I had your poster up on the wall, and I still have that. I think it was McGregor that had the poster with every one of the names of the pitchers that you hit home runs off of leading up to 715. Do you remember that poster?
I don't remember that.
Yeah. You know, I should send it to you.
Thank you. I wish you would.
Do you collect memorabilia at all?
A little bit. I don't. Everything that I have, Dan, everything, rings, watches, anything that I have, I've given it to Cooperstown. I give everything I ever had to Cooperstown. I don't own anything. And somebody said, why did you do that? Well, I said, it belongs to Cooperstown. Hmm. I said, I played baseball before lots and lots and lots of people. And I said, it belonged for them to enjoy. They want to go to the Cooperstown to look at it. That's what they need to do.
And I also thought at the time when Bonds broke your record, it was unfair to bring you into that. I always felt bad about that. I don't know how you felt, but it was like, who do you think is the all-time home run champ? Like, I always viewed you as the all-time home run champ. He had more home runs. You're the all-time home run champ. That's the way I always answered it. But
well, thanks very much.
Did you feel uncomfortable when you were asked about that with Bonds? Like, you were brought in to somehow explain Barry Bonds.
I'm sorry, I didn't hear you.
It felt like, you know, they were unfair in saying, let me bring you in. Like, and what do you think of Bonds breaking your record? And like they were bringing you into a controversy there.
They were. And the only way that I could get out of it was the fact that to make a statement and get it out of the way.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, it's great.
Dan, how you been doing?
I'm doing okay.
I've been watching your show. You're doing a magnificent job.
Well, I'm during the commercial break here. I'm going to go back, and if I can get a cameraman, I'm going to show that poster to you. And I mean it. I'd love to send it to you but it's you, and it's McGregor Sporting Goods, and it's got all your home runs that you hit. Do you remember that first one?
I do.
Who did you hit it off of?
Vig Rasher.
Okay. What did he throw you?
he threw me a Vig Rasher, nothing
ball. I love you. You're a treasure, and I hope we get many more anniversaries to talk about this, but thank you again. I know you're probably being inundated with people wanting to talk to you on this anniversary, and thank you. You always have a place in my heart.
Thank you very much, Dan, and good luck to you, and may God bless you.
That was from April 8th of 2020. I'm glad we brought that back. I you know, and just hearing his laugh at the very end, what did he throw you? Vic Rashi nothing ball is what he did. Rest in peace, Hank. Take a break. We'll be back after this. Thanks for listening to the Dan Patrick Show podcast. Be sure to catch us live every weekday morning, 9 until noon Eastern, 6 to 9 Pacific on Fox Sports Radio. And you can find us on the iHeartRadio app at FSR or stream us live on the Peacock app. At least almost every Friday, we do a dedication. End of the show tribute. Passing of Hank Aaron, Don Sutton, also the former Packer GM Ted Thompson, all in the span of 48 hours. Still no update on Patrick Mahomes, but I'm assuming he'll be out of concussion protocol, considering he probably didn't have a concussion but went through the protocol, and we'll probably get that news here coming up shortly. Vegas is assuming Patrick Mahomes is going to play this weekend. The betting line, has anything changed in these two games, Paulie?
No, not really. Kansas City is still favored by 3 points, and that's what it would be favored by if Mahomes is healthy. They've never really taken that game off the board because of Mahomes' status. The Green Packers are now a 3.5-point favorite.
Okay. Kansas City, do they normally cover? Buffalo seems to cover. Yeah, Paulie?
I'm pretty sure the Chiefs are on a non-covering run, especially the second half of the season. They've won a lot of games by 6 points or fewer.
I mentioned there's such a fine line in these games that it could be one play, it could be one person, it could be somebody or something you never expected. But you have this fine line of Brady's 9 Super Bowl appearances, which he won 6. 8 of the 9 were one-score games, and the other one was tied midway through the fourth quarter. Patrick Mahomes, 3 postseason wins last year. The Chiefs were down by double figures in all 3 games. It takes a moment. It takes a defensive lapse. You saw that with the Niners, where they forgot where Tyreek Hill was. But you have this situation where Jimmy Garoppolo, complete a pass, and you win the Super Bowl. 2nd and 5. They don't run. They pass. Chris Jones knocks down a pass. Like, these small things, or we would be talking about Jimmy Garoppolo differently than we do now. And we wouldn't be looking at Patrick Mahomes the same way because he did not play well in that Super Bowl. Yeah, McClub.
What about the bad calls to the New Orleans miss pass interference and the Dez Bryant catch jumped to mind?
Yeah, there's so many moments where we tend to look at somebody's legacy and you go, he won this or he didn't win this. And then when you realize, when you look at it closer, maybe there was just one play. And here you have, you know, the point spreads are field goals in these games. So you can imagine there is going to be a moment that is going to decide this. And it may not be with your star quarterbacks. Yeah, Paulie.
But is it fair to say that nobody has more to gain this weekend than Aaron Rodgers? He has an early in his career Super Bowl. He gets one now. He puts Brett Favre in his rearview mirror as far as a Packer great. And now you're talking about the all-time great list. Aaron Rodgers is entrenched.
Yeah. Separates himself from Brett Favre, you know, within the franchise. But you separate yourself. You at least put yourself on the level. Ben Roethlisberger, Eli Manning, as far as the number of Super Bowls. He's better than those two quarterbacks. But if Josh Allen would win, like, you want to talk about, that changes everybody's perception of you. Like, that's where you go, oh my gosh, Josh Allen has truly arrived. I think people are still a little apprehensive about jumping on that and saying he's absolutely positively going to be great. He showed these glimpses, but the improvement that he made, which is what you want to see, years, you know, 1 to 2 or 2 to 3, you want to see if they make that jump. And Josh Allen became a formidable force to deal with. As far as quarterbacks go and game plan for him, that ability to run, the thing that I would look for in the game is Josh Allen's running. How much does he run? How much will he run? Can Patrick Mahomes run? But if I'm Josh Allen and I don't have a running game, I have to be the running game because that to me could be the difference in the game. Yeah, Paulie.
Josh Allen last year in 16 games was a 58% passer. He threw for only 3,000 yards. That's not nothing, but for a quarterback starting 16 games it is. He had 20 touchdowns and 9 picks. He upped it to 69% passing, 4,500 yards, 37 touchdowns, same amount of picks.
NFL announced that this Super Bowl in Tampa will host 22,000 fans, 7,500 of which will be vaccinated healthcare workers being given free tickets to the game. Smart move by the NFL. There were so many other things I wanted to get to. Then we got the news a little more than an hour ago that Hank Aaron had passed away. There was an awkward exchange between Shaquille O'Neal and Donovan Mitchell of the Utah Jazz. And this is what it sounded like. I don't know what Shaq was trying to do, but I don't think it was mission accomplished.
Father, this is Shaq. I said tonight that you are one of my favorite players, but you don't have what it takes to get to the next level. I said it on purpose. I wanted you to hear it. What do you have to say about that?
All right. That's it.
That's it?
All right. That's it.
Okay, cool.
I mean,
I wanted you to hear it.
I've been hearing, well, Shaq, I've been hearing that since my rookie year. You know, I'm just going to get better and do what I do.
Good.
At the end of the day.
Well, that's what I wanted you to hear you say.
Okay. He just finished a game. They played well, threw on a headset, and then you listen to Shaq say, you don't have what it takes to get to the next level. Just want you to know. I mean, I like that he, okay, you're forthright, but like it's awkward. Where did you think the interview was going to go from there? Now, if you have those two sitting down and Shaq says, hey, you know, I've been tough on you. I wondered if you had what it takes to get to the next level. You know, but there's ambient noise in the background. Like, it's just not, you're not in the same room. You're just listening to somebody say something to you, and it's Shaq, and you're going, all right. Like, I get it. I've been told this since my rookie year here. I don't know. It came out of nowhere. Yeah, Paul.
Donovan Mitchell's averaging 24 points and 5 assists a game, and he's 24 years old.
Yeah.
Things aren't going too poorly.
No, and he was great in the bubble last year. You know, those showdowns with Denver, he went toe-to-toe. I don't know. I'd love to know what the conversation was prior to or when they talked about this, you know, during the game. Hey, if Donovan Mitchell wins, Utah wins, we're going to have Donovan Mitchell on. You guys got your questions ready. I don't know if anybody said, hey, what are your questions? Just, do you have questions? Yeah, McLovin.
It sounds like a question for a former number one overall pick. Nobody expected Donovan. Like, he's 24. Like, no one's like, oh, my God, I can't believe Donovan Mitchell hasn't won a title yet.
Yeah, the expectation level is not you know, in a stratosphere here. Yeah, Todd.
Unless Shaq was somehow concerned that it would be awkward if it somehow got back to Donovan Mitchell and Mitchell brought it up first, and I heard what you said about me, Shaq. He's like, let me just put it out there and take ownership of it before it gets awkward that he asks me about it.
Well, I think you can do it, but do it in a more sensitive way. I've said to people, hey, I don't know if you've heard this, but I did say this about you. I wanted to be upfront with you. But it almost felt like, hey, you know, decent game, but you don't have what it takes to get to the next level. Now, I mean, if I'm on the receiving end of that, I just had a good game. Somebody said, hey, TNT guys want to talk to you. Put on a headset.
Hey, Donovan, it's Shaq. I don't think you have what it takes to get to the next level. Just want to let you know.
All right. Yeah, see.
It doesn't really come across in a, like, mentorship kind of way. You know, like, hey, I'm just trying to help you and give you a little motivation. Maybe that's what Shaq was meaning, but it really doesn't come across that way. It felt more like, wow, why is this dude being such a jerk?
Yes, Todd.
Or he could have been cute and said, thanks for the support, Shaq. I'll try not to let you down. I think I had a pretty good game tonight, at least.
No, if Donovan says, hey, so what is it that I'm lacking or what am I missing? But that's on Donovan Mitchell to salvage the interview. And I wouldn't, that's not fair to him. Yeah, Paul.
What if Donovan would have been a smartass and said, hey, Shaq, let me hit you up later for some free throw tips. How about that? That would have been awesome.
This day in sports history, Paulie, what do you have?
And this day in sports history, 1998, the Minnesota NHL franchise, nicknamed the Wild. A lot of people still like the North Stars. I think they.
Yeah, North, I did too.
Great uniforms.
Yeah.
This is the big one. 2006, Kobe Bryant of the Lakers scored 81 points against the Toronto Raptors, the second highest total in NBA history.
I feel bad for Jalen Rose today.
He was trending a little while ago because people were asking him about it.
Yes, and Jalen goes, I didn't guard him the whole time. Nobody did, apparently. Yes, Todd.
Do we still have proof of this Will Chamberlain 100? Yeah. I know he's got that famous picture, but I'm sure there's doubters that we don't have video of him scoring all those baskets.
Let's go around the room, what we learned on the program. Todd, I'll start with you.
The back row would be in a lot more trouble than the front row if there was a zombie invasion.
McLovin, what did you learn on today's program?
I learned how you judge the success of an adult dancer. A historical fact, how you do it.
How is that? The
tag teams at the size of their garter belt or something?
Yeah, something
I didn't totally
like
understand it.
Yeah. Instead, if it looks like an afro, then you know that they've done a good job on the dance floor. Whoop, there it is, Seton.
Tag team segment of the year so far. I'm just calling it. Segment of the year.
Segment of the year. It's early. Paulie?
Hank Aaron's first career home run was off a Vic Rashi nothing ball.
What did I learn, Todd?
For all of us, there's a giant hole in our baseball hearts with the passing of number 44.
Guys, the supplement I take every day is M-Drive. Powerful ingredients backed by science help you get energized, stronger, leaner. Go to mdrivedan.com today. Free shipping, 60-day money-back guarantee. Don't let age beat you. Refine your prime with M-Drive. Thanks for joining us. Thanks for the support. And have a great weekend. Safe weekend. We'll talk to you on Monday. Seton, Paulie, Fritz, and McLovin. Yours truly, Dan Patrick Show. One more item as we close out the show. My friends at Full Sail University helped me launch the Dan Patrick School of Sportscasting. You get a bachelor's degree in sportscasting. It's not communications. It's not journalism. It's a bachelor's degree in sportscasting. Designed to teach you all the aspects of sportscasting. You're in front of the camera, behind the camera, podcasting, radio, being a producer, being talent, being a reporter. And there's so many things to love about Full Sail's approach to education. They combine hands-on learning. They have immersive projects, faculty with real world experience. They've been in the business. I worked with a lot of them through the years and quite a few from ESPN. Students will be learning this business inside and out with the people who worked in the industry at a very high level. At Full Sail University, earn your bachelor's degree in about half the time, as short as 20 months. Choose to earn your degree online or on campus in Orlando, Florida. Learn more about the Dan Patrick School of Sportscasting. Go to fullsail.edu/Dan Patrick.